From KMXT in Kodiak, it's the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Terry Haynes.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. For more information, call 1-907-235-4966 or online at alaskaboat.com.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
Federal fisheries managers are meeting in Anchorage this week to talk about Cook Inlet commercial fishing and salmon bycatch, among other big-ticket agenda items. Alaskans behind the Skipper Science app say they'd like to see more local and indigenous voices at the forefront of these conversations, and they see their program heading into its third season as one way to do so. KDLL's Sabine Pooks has more.
Skipper Science has been around since 2021. Fishermen who use it log observations about marine weather and mammal sightings, as well as any other fisheries patterns or changes they notice while they're out at sea. This year, the app's creators are hoping to formalize that data collection process more so they have more concrete on the water information to hand to managers making decisions about their fisheries. Hannah Marie Garcia is a coordinator with the Aleut community of St. Paul Island, the tribal government that developed the app.
The fishermen tend to be a little bit left out, and there is kind of this mystery a little bit in terms of fisheries management and how that can be, you know, an open door for our observers.
The Aleut community of St. Paul Island's been working on the technology for years. In 2021, it joined forces with the Juneau-based nonprofit Salmon State to launch the app. Since then, they've gathered two fishing seasons worth of observations. At least 10 reports last season came from fishermen in Cook Inlet. Lindsay Bloom with Salmon State says those observations provide important local context to complex and controversial fishing decisions.
Skipper Science is a way to bring the perspectives of local-based, Alaska-based small boat fishermen into the process where we do have challenges with representation.
Local and Indigenous representation has long been a sticking point for the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, which makes decisions about fishing in Alaska's federal waters. None of the group's members today represent tribal entities. Last month, Governor Mike Dunleavy's appointment to the council drew criticism from tribal and subsistence fishing advocates, who said his choice to nominate another council member with roots in the pollock industry was disappointing. At its meeting this week, the council is considering a hard cap on chum salmon bycatch, which could have implications for small boat fishermen in western Alaska. As it stands, fishermen who aren't on the council are largely left to weigh in the public comment portion of the meeting. Garcia says they'd like to push that further.
We're now working on pathways to include, you know, our observations and our data summaries into the report that do land in front of the Fisheries Management Council staff as an update.
She says they're designing research methods alongside federal fishing managers to collect data from the deck to better understand the health and ecology of the fisheries. In 2022, she says they collected over 24 samples from black cod to learn more about what the fish were eating.
So that's like a specific fleet and a specific group of people that we tapped into that are involved in our network that aren't just reporting general observations.
This year, they're hoping to collect data on water temperature from sensors attached to boats in Alaska's oceans. Bloom also says those kinds of observations can speed up the process of data collection to make it more responsive to the rapid changes happening in Alaska's waters now.
I think what we know now, certainly from my perspective as a fisherman in Alaska, is that we need management that can be a lot more nimble and adaptive in real time than what we're seeing happening at the council. And that is where these thousands of small boats peppered across the ocean, sprinkled across the ocean throughout Alaska, can be incredibly helpful.
Meanwhile, they're looking for more fishermen to get involved with the program this upcoming season. Cook Inlet fishermen who are interested will have a few chances to meet with the Skipper Science team next month. Bloom says they're hosting training sessions in Kenai and Homer in May, with dates to be announced. In Kenai, I'm Sabine Pooks.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard-accepted, hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at amse.org or 907-747-3287.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Herring season in Sitka is a study in contrasts. Each spring for the last 45 years, large seiners land tons of herring, whose egg sacs are stripped and sold as a delicacy on the international market, often for millions. But the frenzy and money around the commercial sac roe fishery overshadows a far quieter indigenous fishing tradition that's taken place for millennia. KCAW's Catherine Rose recently accompanied a pair of subsistence harvesters in search of one of Sitka Sound's most valued food resources, herring eggs on hemlock branches.
It's a clear Sunday morning in March, and the herring are on the move. Paulette Moreno and Andrew Roberts are slowly motoring north through Sitka Sound. Their 16-foot yellow boat, nicknamed Tweety Bird, is loaded up with 5 hemlock branches to set today. The traditional Thlinkit herring egg harvest has begun. Moreno has been harvesting roe on branches for around 15 years. Roberts has been doing it for most of his life. He points to a rocky area on the western side of Middle Island that's been productive in the past.
This is usually a pretty good spot, that where that boat is, right in that little gut there. That's where we traditionally, you know, when they start spawning in here, there'll be 50 to 100 sets in there. This is a real popular place.
They're cruising along when an announcement from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game comes over VHF radio.
Victoria of the Marine, we have about 2 nautical miles of spawn that started this morning down around Shoal Point on, basically the whole point is going off.
The sun is out, but the water is a bit choppy, so Moreno and Roberts may not make it out to Shoal's Point, which is about 9 miles of open water away from where we are now, on the southeastern tip of Kruzoff Island. But they're not worried. They've already set some trees in that area. Moreno says for the last 3 years, she and the Herring Protectors, a local advocacy group, have been setting protection trees to call attention to traditional fishing grounds that should be avoided by commercial seining vessels.
So they're complete sets, and we put them in strategic locations, and then we call it fish and game and tell them where they're at. We can set where and when we want, and these protection sets are to remind people who pass that area that there are sets out there. And sometimes those sets do really good, but the idea of a protection tree is to do that, to protect the herring and the area.
They slow their boat down in the lee of Middle Island to wait for the wind to die down. Roberts breaks out a rod and reel and begins to troll for salmon. It's a delicate waiting game. The window to set branches at just the right time has shrunk in recent years.
Right before our eyes, instead of seeing this spawn for 3 or 4 days, we literally are seeing it pass through in 4 hours. Unheard of. Unheard of.
Roberts says it didn't used to be that way.
It was so thick. I've seen as a toddler that when the tide went out, herring would be stuck in the tide pools because there was no, you know, the sand was so full that there was no place fish to go. So I've seen it just in my generation, how plentiful the herring were, and it's not that way anymore.
He believes that's due to years of mismanagement of the commercial fishery. 2022 saw the biggest commercial harvest in Sitka's history, 25,000 tons, which was just over half of the 45,000 tons the Department of Fish and Game allowed that year. In 2019 and 2020, the market crashed and there was no commercial fishing at all. Marino remembers how good those years were for traditional harvesters.
It was the year that COVID had just started, and we came through Middle Island, and it was a very calm, beautiful day. It was native heaven again, because there were boats and skiffs, and it was calm, it was peaceful, there was spawn everywhere. There was no competition with a commercial fleet whatsoever. Everybody's waving and smiling. We're all putting down our branches.
She yearns for that undisturbed time on the water. While she's called for moratoriums of the commercial fishery in the past and would still like to see that, she suggests a year on and a year off could be a place where traditional harvesters and commercial fishermen could find compromise.
It would give us as harvesters a chance to go out undisturbed and be in that native heaven, you know, that we experience when there are not obstacles and we are closest to our spirit and our way of life. And then it would give the herring a chance to replenish those different years. So yes, every other year I think would be good, but we need help in pursuing it because the organizations that we have to go to try to just bring these things forward are not always receptive.
That time out on the water is important to Moreno because traditional harvesting is much more, much deeper than the word subsistence suggests.
Something that we need as a people to survive in the best way possible, because this feeds our spirits. And not only our spirits, there are Alaska Native and Native Alaskans who share this with us, who are hungry for balance in this world, who are hungry for things that matter the most. And this is one of them. So we need that to be uninhibited. The closer that we are to less barriers and challenges and obstacles just to get the food that we have always eaten, the less barriers, the closer we are to our core. Every barrier that's put up that we need to deal with brings us further from our very soul and our very way of life. And it's a sacred, beautiful way of life. And that's all we're asking, is to be able to practice that.
As the pair troll back towards town, over the VHF radio, commercial fishermen let each other know where they're going next to look for schools of herring. Roberts and Moreno laugh. They can see a big school of herring on their depth sounder just below the boat. But they'll keep it to themselves today. The herring were right there with us, Moreno later said as we got off the boat in Sealing Cove. That's communication. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Catherine Rose.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Madsen, providing twice-weekly service to Alaska's Emerald Isle. Statewide support of the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from Satellite Technical Services, providing satellite communication solutions for commercial fishermen across the state of Alaska. Information and dealers can be found at satellitewest.com or by calling 206-321-6896.